Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Red Friday. Give yourself a round of applause. You made it through the week. It's Friday, baby.
Oh, we got less than 4 hours to go. We got no boss in town today, guys. We can leave early on a Friday.
I know that I'm hard. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the weather is very nice out there today.
Fall Fun Fest in Blue Springs. Gonna go there today. Get my Timothy Lutheran burger. Smash. Very Smash. Good.
What's on the Timothy Lutheran burger?
It is
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pickles, mustard, cheese, salt, pepper, and grilled onions.
Oh, that sounds really good. That's
it's
a good
cool, man.
Yeah.
So they have like, it looks like a giant Blackstone, right?
Yeah.
They do it every year in Blue Springs. It's a staple. It's my hometown. I love it. For all of you that go out there this weekend, please be safe and have fun and make sure you get a Timothy Luther burger. All proceeds go to that church. It's a great cause. It's a good burger. They give you a card, right? They give you an index card.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a pencil. And they have check boxes. Cheese, yes or no. Onion, yes or no. Salt and pepper, yes or no. This, yes or no. Hand that to the lady, slide over. Here you go, sir.
Oh, nice.
And
I like
how
that.
How great
yeah.
is this? On the other side is another company, and they do Suzy Q fries.
Oh, there you go.
So the
yeah.
strategy is have one of your boys in line with the burger. You go stand in line for the fries.
And then meet
you
in the middle.
You start walking man. My way. I start walking yours. We mm-hmm. meet in the middle beneath that old Georgia pie.
I like it. Very good. Well done by you.
Thank
very
you.
Nicely played.
Diamond
that was,
Rio.
Yes, that was very good. Under that old Georgia pine.
That is a good, banger of a song.
It really is. I mean, that,
oh,
that,
yeah. It was 700 fence posts from your yeah. house to mine.
On a college football Saturday, maybe.
Yeah, that is a good song for a college football
yes.
Saturday.
Because it does that little drop where it goes, he gets really high up in the note, and then it stops, and it's just, I start walking. You know,
look at all
oh,
that
yeah.
spit that flew out of his mouth. He's so excited about that Timothy Lutheran burger. It really was. I mean, that was like Binkley getting up on a Saturday morning, turn on game day.
Coffee, saliva, velo. Sorry, Alex. Yeah,
you got it all going on over there. Binkley worked last night. You could just blame all the spittle
yes,
on him.
Yeah, taste some, man.
Oh, I heard him last night. He was ready, man.
Was he ready?
Oh, he was,
was he cooking last night?
Oh,
he,
yeah.
Is he ready to go for this week? Like, going to suit him up? I
he's
mean,
he's got Mizzou, South Carolina.
Big game for
he's
him.
He's got
yeah.
Florida, Miami.
Yeah, you think he's going to go down to Olathe tonight, watch Olathe South, Olathe East.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sheet metal workers game of the week.
Yes. Let's go.
Each school gets $750 for that rivalry game tonight.
That's awesome.
You know, if Binkley's a football fan, that's a big rivalry game. Maybe he's going to get his tail down there and watch that one tonight. I don't know.
You kegs and eggs and football. Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah. They would be best friends. Yeah,
they
you got
would
a college
be,
football
yeah.
slate on Saturday.
yeah.
You got NFL slate. Don't forget every College football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary every Saturday. Rep your college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanner locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. So, yeah, I do love Fridays, man, especially in the fall.
Oh, they're the best, man. Right? They really are. There's so much to look forward to, man, like with the high school stuff, with the college games, with the NFL games, family time. Now, you got to get out today, though. Have you looked at the forecast for the next week? It's supposed to rain like every day beginning tomorrow. So this may be the day that you get out and enjoy that sunshine and enjoy that weather and get everything you need to do, because it's supposed to rain a little bit. But no big deal. You can sit inside, watch some games, and take care of business that way. But I'm excited for this weekend, man. This is a big weekend for a lot of reasons, and number one, it's a big weekend for the Chiefs. It's time to get back in that win column, man. We haven't had a win since the AFC Championship game, and you start 0-3, and then all of a sudden all the rats are jumping off the Titanic. You know, it becomes a mess if you start your season at 0-3, and you're going against a losing organization, an organization that's been a losing organization since they fired Tom Coughlin, for all intents and purposes, right? And so you got to keep those losing organizations losing. Russell Wilson's been a losing quarterback over the last 4 or 5 years. Keep that guy losing. And go in there and show why you are the best team in the AFC right now, or one of the best teams in the NFL. If you are going to be one of these best teams, you got to go in there and beat up on the Giants, man. There's no excuses this week.
Dare we say it? Must win?
No. I don't think that's a. Absolutely is a must win game this week for the Chiefs.
You come in 0-3. Yeah. It's not going to be.
And then you got Baltimore knocking on the door.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
0-4 is like likely at that point.
Yeah. You know, just talking to some folks yesterday, it's likely. We're just trying to save. You know, we're just trying to tread water right now till we get Rice back, is what they're saying, right? And I mean, there's a lot hinging on getting Rice back into the equation for this organization right now. They're putting a lot of stock into Rashee Rice coming back and being a big time player and turning this whole thing around. I hope they're right about that.
He's
right,
a wide receiver one.
Yeah, but he hasn't played in so long, and so it's like we just expect him to pick up and, you know, move forward. We all do that as sports fans, though. We expect guys just to pick up right where they left off, because that's what they do, and usually they do. And so hopefully Rashee Rice is a guy that can do that. But until that time, we've got to stem this tide a little bit, and you get Worthy back in this week. And we were talking earlier about the running game and whatnot. We'd like to see them run the football.
Yeah, what do you think happens more? What do you think has a better chance of Happy Mac? And please don't feel biased. The Chiefs run the ball, not counting Mahomes runs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs run the ball 20 times, or I get laid this weekend.
I think they ran it 19 times
last
week.
Believing it.
Yeah. They ran it 19 times. Yeah,
not counting Mahomes?
Not counting Mahomes. Yeah. They ran it 19 times, 26 with Mahomes. I think they run it 20.
So
and
over,
I think,
under 18.5, you're taking the over?
I'll take the over.
I think you have to run the ball this week.
Yes.
I just don't really think you have much of an opportunity, you know, to win a game if you're not utilizing that running game. Your passing game right now, from a weapon standpoint, just isn't good enough to go out there and win games. So you have to be a two-dimensional offense. And the runs, you're counting Worthy jet sweeps and end-arounds and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
right?
I guess, in this hypothetical, yes. But I was just counting Kareem and Pacheco from last week.
You were just counting them. So, because I think, you know,
I don't want to see Xavier Worthy get an end-around, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I get that. I think I do, Thornton? Because I think he's fast. Or Thornton, either one. They both got speed, right? Yep. Let him utilize that speed. Worthy has got speed. That is, you know, second to none. Everybody's talking about Tyreek Hill's speed last night and whatnot on Thursday Night Football. Xavier Worthy's faster than Tyreek, among other things, right?
Yeah, that break out of halftime.
That was
was not expecting that. All right, let's go down to whoever on the sideline and talk about the first half. So Tyreek Hill has a lot of domestic disputes going on with his ex-wife, who's in the civil court with 8 counts of, and I'm like,
and tie ball game, first and 10.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
Yep. Woo. Part of the story, I guess, of the game yesterday. It is. I mean, it is. You know, it absolutely is. But I think you do have to run Xavier Worthy. I think you do have to run with those guys. You've got to do different things, and Xavier Worthy allows that. And I think what we're going to see on Sunday, at least what I think we're going to see on Sunday again, is what they wanted to do 2 weeks ago in Brazil. You know, when we sat here 2 weeks ago going into that game, we thought, okay, this is what was going to be, you know, laid out there. Xavier Worthy was going to be a big player, and then boom, Travis knocks him out on the third play, and we haven't seen him since. So I think we're going to get some running from Xavier Worthy. And the reason I'm not so worried about it, and maybe this is me just being oblivious to the whole situation, I think he's so fast, like defenders are going to have to go down low on him and not worry about tackling him up high. Like, I feel like he's going to be running like the Roadrunner, and everybody's going to kind of be in his dust. And it just reminds me of that first play that he had last year when he was a rookie against Baltimore, and just ran by everybody. Like, Yeah. Nobody had a chance to tackle him. So that, like, his speed is not affected by this shoulder. So that's kind of how I'm viewing. Maybe we get Xavier Worthy kind of going, get that running game going, keeping that defense off of balance.
Steal those,
I guess,
Elijah Moore plays from last night.
Yeah, those are
in a way that, like, Bob's describing.
Yeah, you've got to do things like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I think it's a well good, I mean, I would love it. I mean, him on the field alone is a threat.
Yeah.
And I thought the way that Miami used Jaylen Waddle last night was how you could see the Chiefs use Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
Because one thing I have seen throughout the nets of the Inter is that Mahomes isn't throwing the ball to the sidelines. He hasn't done that lately. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done that quite some time. He's not doing that little, you know, he missed Thornton. Mm-hmm. He missed Noah Gray on that same play. And Xavier Worthy, if you want him to avoid contact as much as possible, I think hand shakes hand in this situation, right? Hey, run this little, you know, 15-yard out to the sideline. I'll put it there. You'll get it out of bounds immediately. I'll put it there to where you get out of harm's way. That builds confidence for Mahomes, not as if he needs it, but it also keeps Xavier Worthy out of harm's way of getting absolutely tattered in the open field. Catch it, 2 feet, get out, boom, move the chains, run the ball twice, and then open up the field that way. But I mean, in the way they used with Jaylen Waddle last night, who was banged up in that game, wasn't 100%, had a touchdown, kind of on that same sort of play, like they tried to get with Travis Kelce in that little quick end zone curl, and then he had a couple of sideline catches and was able to, you know, extend that a little bit and then get out of bounds. So I'd like to see him use him that way.
Or you have him run those same routes that Noah Gray and Tyquan Thornton ran and let Patrick Mahomes just loft it up and let him run into the end zone too, you know, because I think, and you can imagine things the way that you want to, but if that's Xavier Worthy on both of those plays, those are runaway touchdowns, in my opinion, because both of those guys were very wide open on those plays, right? I mean, Thornton clearly ran by everybody on the defensive side.
Oh, that was a touchdown, Thornton,
I mean,
for sure.
Absolutely. And I think maybe Noah Gray could have potentially been a touchdown if it's Xavier Worthy and it's his speed out there and you lead him properly and it's just in stride, he catches it and goes. Because I think if you lead Xavier Worthy, again, this is my dreams, you know, you lead Xavier Worthy and he's running full stride and just makes that catch, and who's catching him, right? Who's catching him if it's a full stride throw and he's going full speed? Like, nobody in the NFL is catching Xavier Worthy. They're all beating his dust. And so I think if you get plays like that going where you can just loft it up and he can run underneath it and not have to worry about being tackled, but, you know, just hustle underneath and catch it in stride and run into the end zone, I think you can do stuff like that. I think there's a lot you can do with Xavier Worthy, and I think that's why this offense has looked so lethargic, if you will, in the first 2 weeks, because the guy who was supposed to be your biggest weapon got knocked out on play three, and it kind of changed everything that you can do. And so getting him back into the flow, man, it's going to be so big this weekend against the Giants. And you're not wrong, Dusty. You're 100% right. It is a must-win game in week three for this team right now.
100%. Yeah, maybe his speed opens some stuff underneath. Some guys could actually get open quickly. Feels like every pass play, Mahomes is just kind of scrambling, kind of clawing for someone to get open. It would be really nice to just have some easy plays, easy pitch and catch. Hey, there's 6 yards. Hey, there's 4 yards. Hey, now it's third and one. Let's go.
Yep.
Yeah, Buffalo looked good last night.
It's well oiled. I envy watching their offense.
Yeah, they were really good. Yep.
And methodical and nice. Yes. And it's chunk yards. And then when they run the ball with an elite running back, they get 8, 9, 6.
Allen can dump off a 2 yard pass and have it go for 12. He doesn't have to do everything.
Right. Miami's amazing.
Miami scored that first drive, and I was like, all right, see what Buffalo's got. And it was 6 yards, 8 yards.
Yeah, right down the field.
Yards, 12
I mean,
yards.
What
is that? His
everything.
Tight end catching a little.
But it's amazing what can happen when you have a full arsenal of weapons, too, though. I mean, like, they don't have suspensions. They don't have the injury. All their injuries on the defensive side, as always. Ed Oliver and Matt Milano. I look at that crew. I'm like, those guys are injured every week, right?
They missed him last night.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Matt Milano, maybe. But, I mean, they still find a way to win.
Yeah, Achan was just able to catch anything. That's their offense. They're just going to dump.
Yeah, I mean, they got Achan. Much going on there. But with you know, Buffalo, I envy them because they're healthy and because they've got their full complement of guys more than anything. I'm like, man, if we could have started the season and Rashee Rice wasn't suspended and Xavier Worthy was healthy, I think it's a lot different than an 0-2 start to the season. So
I agree.
It matters. I mean, like, this suspension to Rashee Rice, man, this can go down in one of the most detrimental suspensions we've seen in a very long time in the NFL.
Which is hilarious because last year all we gave Mahomes crap about was he couldn't throw the ball downfield. Last night, one of the worst air yard performances last night by two quarterbacks in the game. Allen attempted only one pass over 10 air yards, while Tua completed as many passes behind the line of scrimmage as passed it, 11 each.
Yeah, I think
They combined an average 1.5 air yard completion, the lowest mark in a game in net gen stats era since 2016.
But also, too, maybe that's just the way the game dictated it, though. I mean, the people put those stats out there. Oh, my God, what are we doing? But what was the flow of the game, right? Like those look like stats that you look at if you didn't watch the game and you're like, oh my God, they weren't throwing the ball downfield. Sometimes games don't dictate where you throw the ball downfield. Sometimes your game plan is we're going to nickel and dime these guys underneath because maybe they got really good defensive backs, but we know they're weak in the middle and we can just take advantage and, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, if you will, instead of the big play.
Coming up next, time for the leaders to be leaders. The lights are going to be right on Saturday Night Football. So leaders lead, and that's what results in wins. We'll discuss on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Slap into the base on a Friday morning. Wake up, Kansas City. It's Friday. It's a red Friday. It's must win week three Friday. God, I'm ready for the weekend, boys. Getting that fall swing back, right? Get all that nice weather windows open, kind of.
I think today's a good window open day. I look later in the week. Next week, it's going to be in the 60s for a high on a couple of days.
Yeah.
Low 70s. Now we're starting to get back into the fall thing, right?
No doubt. Somebody from the text line says, so are we thinking Mahomes is going to throw for over 225 yards and 2+ touchdowns with Worthy back? Well, later on, we'll give you our parlay and answer that question for you as we do our show parlay every single week. We each take a leg, put it together, and give you the odds. You can trail it or you can, you know, fade away. But I think I'm going to trail this one this week for sure. I like our numbers. Mm-hmm. Maybe throw two units on it this week instead of one.
Right.
Yeah,
never know. Okay. Yesterday, Chris Jones was asked about the video, about him complaining about the tush push, and then he went into great detail that that's not what he was talking about, because we saw the viral video of, like, Saquon Barkley, they can't stop it, nobody in the effing world can't even know it's coming, we score every time, whatever the quote was. And then Chris Jones on the sideline, very animated, very unhappy with the performance of the defense. Leader, Travis Kelce, week one, takes out Xavier Worthy and then has a huge, massive drop and shows emotion. Leader. Patrick Mahomes, running nonstop. Knows he's always had it. We don't want to see it till the end of the season or in the playoffs. Also a leader. And this game against the Giants that we coined in the opening is must win. And it's in New York. And I know it's the Giants. It's their home opener. You haven't won there in seven trips. You're 0-7 against the Giants on the road. Sunday Night Football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is going to be around most of what we just hit, which is Kelce, Jones, Mahomes. This team's 0-2. Can these leaders step up in this game? This is a time for the big dogs to be dogs.
No doubt, right? Man.
We don't need it every game. That's the fortunate part about the Chiefs. Sometimes, you know, you don't need Travis Kelce per se in a situation, but normally this game, guys, I think happens around like week 10 or 11 when you're thinking one seed. I think right now we can put the one seed on the back burner. It's not the important topic right now.
No.
You could think that the one seed played last night in Buffalo, who's 3-0. And those games, those must-win games, those leadership games tend to come later on in the season because you've done so well to start off. You're taking a little bit of dosage of the Cincinnati Bengals pill so far this year, hurting yourself early, getting down in a hole. And this is a game in which I think the leaders need to lead. Because you need this. You need this sort of situation where I don't need to see animated frustration or, you know, guys doing all this sort of stuff. Go out there, line up, do your thing, be who you are, these all-pro Hall of Fame futures, and let that take way. Because then the other guys that are the tier twos, they see that and they go, all right, Travis is locked in. All right, Chris Jones is he ain't doing his normal stuff. He's locked in. Mahomes has that look in his eye. You know, he's moving the way that Mahomes likes to do his thing. And then that will be the trickle effect. And then you can go, like you said, keep a bad team losing.
Yeah, and I think this is a major game for those leaders because the best leaders lead when times are tough. I believe, in my opinion anyway, this is the toughest it's ever been for Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce. They're 0-2. They've never been in this situation before. This is the first time that times have really been tough for this group. You play in the playoffs, you've been behind, you're in the postseason. That's all kind of gravy to me. You're playing for your lives right now. You're playing for your season right now. This is not playing for the postseason and having fun and doing that kind of stuff. This is legitimately playing for your season. You lose this game, you're probably going to lose a big portion of your fan base, right? You lose this game. You may lose some people inside that locker room. You may lose some of your players if you lose this game. And so that's where the leaders need to be the leaders this week and in this game. The only leading really that these guys have ever done has been from ahead. We've really never seen the Chiefs in this must-win type of situation in the regular season. You can say the postseason, that's all must wins and everything like that. I get that. This is different, though. This isn't a must-win game to keep basically your entire season alive, right? So that's why I'm interested to see how they're going to lead. We're going to see the true leadership of that core four, and I'm talking Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones. That's your core four. The future of this season after this 0-2 start truly, in my opinion, resides with those four guys. They're the leaders of this organization. They're the messengers of this organization. And they're the guys that set the tone for this organization. And so that's why I think it's a big week for them as well, because we have not seen it. We saw them at 1-5, but that was Alex Smith. That was different people. It wasn't, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce as we know him today.
The
expectations weren't there. The Royals were winning a World Series. Nobody was really paying attention right at that time. And so it was just kind of like just another football season. But now here we sit after they've accomplished all of this great stuff, have been great at playing from a front. Now they're playing from behind. We are going to see the true makeup of these guys going into this game. And it does fall on the heels of your four leaders. They need to set the tone. And then everybody kind of follows them, right? We've always talked about, you know, if Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are over here doing extra reps and you're Bob Tonyan, your ass better be over there doing extra reps too, because those guys are doing extra reps. And so that's why I think that leadership is so important for this week and for this game going in, and the leaders needing to establish and letting everybody know, guys, this is it. We have to go out there and win. There is no more room for error on this football team and for this season right now.
Mac, you agree? Leaders in this situation, I know it's kind of like a heavy burden to put, but I mean, I think that they expect these sort of things, because I don't think they expected week three to be like, oh, Giants, okay, you know, maybe go 1-1 in your first two. You're not invincible, right? Go 1-1, get into New York. Okay, we got this game. Let's just stick to our rhythm. But things have happened, and now you have to have this sort of, you know, staple to this game.
Yeah, it seems like they've always had like the reset button or the okay, let's turn it on button. And now they've kind of lost track of where that is. Maybe there's some stuff on it. They've got to clean out their desk and refine where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
They need to now know they don't have that anymore. Their superpower has eroded for now. They need to now go earn that.
Right.
They can't just say, all right, well, we'll walk in three quarters. All right, 17-20, down three. All right, 10 minutes to go. We'll get the ball twice, play perfect for these last 10 minutes, win 24-20. Boom, we're good. No, that's not going to work anymore. Teams right. have watched that for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, especially these last two seasons. They're ready for it. They're prepared. They know what's coming, and nothing's exciting anymore with this team. Nothing's new. That needs to come up, too. And some of that, some newness, would be winning a game by two possessions, never having any fear.
Yeah.
That's the spark that this team needs. It's not what it was last year where there's the motivation for a three-peat. They're coming off a back-to-back Super Bowl. They have that spark, that electricity, that knowledge, that swagger. That they can do it. That's gone away for now.
It has. And
that's okay. And that's okay. Get it back.
Yeah, you can absolutely get that back. And I think you will once you get your playmakers back, you know, out on the field, and
you
can have that swagger.
Now.
But you've got to start it now, because if you wait for your playmakers to get back, well, then the season will absolutely be 100% lost. And so I think right now where this team is, I want one of these games on Sunday night where I can go to bed at halftime. Like it's 30-0
awesome.
At halftime. Like, we haven't had that in a very long time, you know, with this team. But this will really tell you what these guys are made of, man, because you're absolutely right. The superpower is gone for right now. It's no longer, okay, we'll just play around for, you know, 50 minutes and then see what happens in the last 10 and go out and win this game. They're not capable of doing that right now. But what they are capable of doing is setting the tone for this game and slapping the Giants in the face right away and delivering punishment right away and say, this is our game. We're going to go ahead and take this away from you. That's kind of what I want to see them do. I want to see them assert themselves in this situation because, you know, as I've said, I don't know that there's ever been a must really win regular season game. We say must win for the one seed, right? Like that's Mission Hill's problem. Right there, right? This is now a must win to keep your season alive.
Yeah, they were 9-6 a couple years ago. In those last two games, they had the Bengals and Raiders. I don't know if they were, I mean, I don't know if both of them were must win, but it was probably the most similar they felt, but not like this to where you're legitimately, you're done. I mean, it's over. You're cooked. You're dead. I mean, that's really what it would be. I think another thing is like, hey, Chris Jones, Kelce, Mahomes, we've seen it from those guys. Bucker, we've seen it from this. Mm-hmm. We know they can do it. We know they can step up. But also, like, where have you been for me lately on the rest of this team? Where's this new leader? We're 0-2 right now. Come on. Mm-hmm. Someone's got to step up. Yeah. I would say Andy Reid, like, present that as an opportunity. We know the guys that are the infrastructure of this team. We need a new pillar.
Who do you want that to be? If you're standing in that meeting and you're saying, all right, guys, you know, who needs to be that guy to step up? Is it Nick Bolton?
Karlaftis.
Is it Karlaftis?
Karlaftis is a good one.
Yeah.
Karlaftis, yeah, like, come around the edge. You know, sack Russell Wilson from behind, knock the football out, give the ball to your offense and be like, okay.
Yeah, when was the last time we saw a strip sack on this team? Like seriously.
No idea.
Or not even a strip sack. You just put your face mask in the back of the quarterback and blow his ass up and the ball goes up in the air.
They had it last week. Jalen Hurts fumbled on their first drive.
Yeah,
right there.
It to you. Nobody was there to get it. Nope. Yeah,
and that would have changed the complexion.
It absolutely would have changed the complexion. Turnovers are so big. I mean, you know, Vermeil used to do the math. Like, if you're plus one, the odds of you winning are so exponentially high. If you're plus two, it's so much. I mean, like, you basically don't have a chance to lose if you're plus two in the turnover battle when you look at the math, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, so I was just going to say, is McDuffie part of this?
Maybe he needs to be a big player and get a pick six.
He's been quiet.
Not
like the good corner way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, he got beat last week
in a
big way that everybody saw. He was isolated at the end of the game. And, you know, obviously that guy was like 10 feet taller than him. So he had an opportunity to go over up and top. But still, I mean, you've got to figure out a way. So maybe, but we've
Norman Locke gets another sack like he had last week. That'll turn some heads.
But guys,
seriously,
everybody we've named so far has been on the defensive side. And the defensive side hasn't been really the problem.
No.
Right,
maybe it's,
you know,
maybe it's worthy.
You know, maybe it is worthy.
I've been out two games. You guys have missed me. The game plan hasn't been the same. I'm back.
I'm back, baby.
Don't worry about my shoulder.
And you know,
that would be huge.
You don't even really realize the spark that him is going to have on those guys, just from a mental standpoint too. Because, you know, you've all been in those situations where, whether it's little league or high school or whatever, and you're down and your team's losing all the time and this stinks, and then you get your good player back and you just feel better about it, right? Like, don't you guys feel better this week knowing that Worthy's going to be out there?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Like, you feel better about this offense. I know they feel better inside this building about the offense having Xavier Worthy back. So maybe he is the guy. But honest to God, man, like, this is it for Pacheco this week for me. Like, if you continue to not run the ball the correct way because you're afraid to run up the gut or whatever it is, then we've got to absolutely this week be looking elsewhere for a running back. So to bring this kind of full circle, the guy that I want to see step up, I want to see Isaiah Pacheco step up, man. You're going to your home. You're going to Jersey. That's where you grew up. There's going to be a lot of fans there. You have an opportunity because what was that, week two or week three last year when he went down against Cincinnati? Mm-hmm. It's been a full calendar year now.
It's time.
Make this be your kind of, you know, arrival back into the NFL. Show us that Pacheco of old for the rest of the season, because the first 2 weeks of this new, if you will, Isaiah Pacheco has not been something that I really enjoy, right?
So
follow your blocks, go up the middle, do what needs to be done. And I think if Isaiah Pacheco does what he needs to be done, I think we'll think differently about the offensive line, because if he's following his blocks, he's in the end zone last week.
100%. 100%. He's getting 4 or 5 yards a carry.
Somebody on the text line did say, you know, maybe it's time for somebody else to step up. You know, like you had mentioned, like, maybe it's not, you know, fully on these people. Like, somebody says from the 9-1-3, I think a new leader could arise from this game. You're damn right.
Yeah. But who is that guy? Who do you want to see? Because it really can't be a lineman unless you're like making pancake blocks
out there.
The first
name I thought of was Josh Simmons, but that's not
fair.
But
what is he supposed to do, right? You know, he's
give Mahomes full trust.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes has to do that. He has to trust his line. And there's been times where maybe he's been a little quick, you know, trigger happy, where he's like, yep, got to go.
Well, the last couple of years, I don't blame him, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, he's got a little PTSD with the line from the past. But, I mean, I think offensively, like, Noah Gray, go be that guy. You know, go be the younger tight end that can, you know, kind of make a statement, so they don't have to, you know, bracket Travis Kelce or put him in a place where he's not out there. Then they can maybe figure out, you know, how to use them. But I think Noah Gray's a guy on offense that can step up. I think, you know, you could see a Juju type of couple plays in this game where he's not really a leader, but he's a vet trusted guy, where it's like, hey, they're going to let Juju have this, you know, left side of on the numbers of the field where we can throw it 5 yards, let him get, you know, 5 yards after the catch, more often than one, or more than times than one. You do it 2 or 3 times, maybe on a third down or something like that. See somebody like that step up. You could see somebody like a Kareem Hunt be like, hey, man, give me the opportunities. I hear what people are saying in the city about Isaiah Pacheco. I don't want that narrative, and I'll prove it for you.
Yeah.
He needs more carries.
He does, for sure. Yeah. But he's maybe he's too old and can't.
Or what you do is if your running styles with Kareem Hunt are more educated and more vision-based with Kareem Hunt, because he's a better running back, I think, in my opinion, then use him in the first half, and then use Isaiah Pacheco as like your closer in the second half, where you're like, hey, man, just run angry right here. And if you get 5 yards, that clock's going to tick, and it doesn't matter. We don't care if you get 3 yards on first down, because it's going to take a minute off the clock, and they're tired. And when that style of run gets later in the game and those defenders are, you know, hands on their hips, breathing out of their mouth, that's when Isaiah Pacheco can be more effective and use Kareem Hunt in the first half. And then you kind of, you know, work both ways. But again, maybe Breshad Smith's that guy.
Maybe. You know? I mean, we don't know what we have in that guy.
Wheel routes, I have no idea.
Yeah, I want a wheel route. Offs. I want, like, you know, the wheel route that we saw in New England in Kareem Hunt's first year. Like, I love that play.
Those were great plays.
That play is so unstoppable, man. I love that play. Show me a wheel route this weekend,
sit in the
man.
Zone in the middle of the field, Kareem.
Where are the screen game? Where's Andy Reid's screen game?
Easy dump-offs. Like, make the game easy for your guys this week.
Get Josh Simmons in space.
Like a little dump off to Breshad Smith on the left side. Pancakes.
And look, we know he can run down the field. Yeah, I mean, dude. Like we saw him tackle that guy on the sideline, right? It goes reminiscent back to me watching Will Shields against the Phoenix Cardinals back in the day, leading Priest Holmes down the field, and Will's running down the field faster than Priest and knocking people down. I'm like, that's the cavalry that we need out front of our guys. Little swing pass outside to maybe it is Breshad Smith, maybe it's Xavier Worthy. And then you got Josh Simmons leading the way down the field. He may be faster than Worthy. Who knows at this point in time?
I mean, he looks like DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker.
It was awesome, man. Yeah. Maybe that's the play that shows the guy in the locker room, guys in the locker room, like, hey, he's this guy. He's arrived. 34 passes.
He's been here for two weeks.
Right. Yep. Zero pressures. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of an offensive lineman going to a past offensive lineman, Bob thinks Mitchell Schwartz has been hanging out with Speck.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in the simulator playing golf. Mitchell Schwartz was on, Ryan Russillo's show?
Ryan Russillo.
R-Y-E-N, kind of like that spelling. The feeling is Mahomes is falling off. I'd say,
okay, that's enough.
Okay.
That's a Spectre line right there. That's the line that Spectre told us in our meeting the other day. He goes, what if you think Mahomes is falling off?
So he says, the feeling.
So Mitchell Schwartz is stealing Spectre takes on national radio.
So the feeling is that Mahomes is falling off. I'd say he shoulders a lot more than he did back then. He's playing with guys across the board that aren't quite as good. When I watch Josh Allen, he looks comfortable in these vast pockets. He's got all the time in the world. I just don't see that as often from Kansas City. And that was Mitchell Schwartz on Ryan Russillo on Mahomes shouldering the load and playing with guys who aren't quite as good.
Yeah, he's right. He's right. There's nothing, you know, he absolutely is right about that. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Nope.
I mean, this team is not as good as that 18 team from a skill position standpoint, not as young as that team was as of right now. Maybe you get Worthy and Rice back. It's a lot different. And you don't have Mitchell Schwartz as your right tackle either. Or Eric Fisher as your left tackle. But I think Josh Simmons, I'm good with Josh. I don't need to talk about him anymore, you know, except when he does good things.
Yeah, no, agreed. Yeah, I mean, you see Josh Allen throw these passes. He's never has his arm getting hit. He never has to adjust his angle. Like, how many times do we see, like, yeah, the pocket may be quote-unquote clean. Like, Mahomes' hand is hitting a helmet, or he's hitting a shoulder pad, right, or he has to shorten his arm motion because there's a guy right in front of him about to step up. Like, that, those things matter. Those things mess up everything.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. This is Dan Orlovsky and Adam Schefter on What's at Stake on Sunday night.
They are in a tough division, in a tough conference, and they're 0-2. If we go back and look at teams that are 0-2 that have then gone to 0-3 and the chances that they make the playoffs, it's not an extensive list of teams. If we go back to 2000, there have been 117 teams that started 0-3. One, the 2018 Houston Texans have made the playoffs.
Wow.
So in this game on Sunday night, we have the 0-2 Chiefs and the 0-2 Giants. Somebody's going to be looking at that graphic.
Yeah.
You're going to say, Sydney, get me G18 on Monday morning.
That's right.
And they're going to be like, don't show us that graphic. We don't want to know.
And don't forget, the Chargers play the Broncos this weekend. The Chargers beat the Chiefs week one. If the Chiefs lose and the Chargers win, we're sitting at Chiefs 0-3, Chargers 3-0 with three divisional wins to start the season.
Just a very quick thought. You did their game on Monday night. I asked you, what was your biggest takeaway? What's the first thing you said?
The Chargers are as good as anybody in the NFL.
Agree or disagree? I mean, I get it. We don't always like their takes. We don't always like what they have to say about the Chiefs. But, I mean, that's a lot of truth.
You lose this game and the Chargers win, you're 0-3 and they're 3-0. The division's over. I mean, it really is. Oh, yeah. I mean, I know there's still 14 games to go, but you're essentially four games back, three games in. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Chiefs used to do to people, right? Used to body bag people in September and then kind of run away with the division in October and November. And, yeah, I mean, look, if the Chargers go to Denver or wherever that game is, they play Denver and beat the Broncos, yeah, they're 3-0. And if the Chiefs lose and they're 0-3, I mean, that's a big, 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 big mountain to climb if you want to get out of the basement of the AFC West and have an opportunity to win that division. That's why, again, this is a must-win game. I mean, there are so many reasons why this is a must-win game on Sunday.
It's in L.A.
Man, it doesn't matter. It's a neutral site.
Exactly. Yeah.
There'll be more Denver Bronco fans there. I got a Tyreek Hill update. I was talking to some people yesterday about, you know, the potential of adding him. Because at any time, you know, Tyreek Hill shows his face, everybody goes, he's coming to Kansas City and whatnot. And I don't think that's going to happen after talking to some people around the league and in the know, because they don't have the cap space, first of all, to add Tyreek Hill in. And that's a major issue. You have to be able to have the cap space. And trading a pick that they're going to have to do, however many picks they're going to have to do for a one-year rental, is going to be very difficult for them. And you think to yourself, wait, what do you mean a one-year rental? He's making $30+ million next year, and the word on the street is he's getting cut after the season. So you're not going to go out there and trade a draft pick for a one-year rental of a guy that you're going to have to cut at the end of the season anyway because of his exorbitant salary. And so everybody around the league is looking at Tyreek Hill, where he is in age, the off-the-field stuff, the amount of money that he's making, that's a cut candidate next year. And he may be a player that is available on the open market. I don't want to say for pennies on the dollar because he still has speed, but once he is released, whether it's June 1st or, you know, after the season or anything like that, yeah, he'll be a hot commodity out there on the trade market, and if you can, or on the free agent market, and if you can go out there and sign him this offseason, not have to deal with the $30+ million of salary, not have to give up a pick, that's a better way to approach it than trying to go out there right now. And again, the wide receivers, in my opinion, aren't the issue on this team right now. If Tyreek Hill was a running back, I think we'd be having a different conversation about this.
He used to be one.
He did. Yeah, he was. He used to be a running back, but he's not anymore.
And the position's been filled.
Yeah, right.
Mrs. Doubtfire, 1994. Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversities, yet forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday. This Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Overuse makes sense. Colin Cowherd's at it again, but I think this time his analogy makes perfect sense. We'll explain. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Diving right back in it, we need your help. Text line 913-586-7965 for you astronomers out there. You can head over to my Twitter page, at Dusty Likens. The moon is very awesome this morning. I text the guys on the way here, cruising down the road. I looked to my right, and I saw the moon. I saw a little planet next to it. Looks like a pierced ear. And I was like, you know, the moon's pretty cool. And then we get in here, and the text line's been like, guys, go look at the moon ahead of you a little bit. And now we don't know what that is.
No, I don't know. And I've got the app up right now, and you can see it. It's like looking at the night sky through the wall, I guess. Cool. It's the night sky app. But there's nothing that appears next to the moon. And I'm looking all around, aliens. And I go up a little bit, and that's Jupiter's above the moon. See the serpent coming out of the sky? Do you see that? Can you see the serpent up there by the
what
moon?
What is that around it now, like a Taurus?
It looks like it's Leo, so that's the lion. Leo the lion is kind of around the moon right now, but I don't know. Michelle Bogle with the Channel 4, my good friend over there, says that the moon is next. It could be Venus they're thinking about this morning.
So, in comes Uranus.
Of course, on the text line, yes. I mean, you asked for the text line, help name a planet, and they're all saying Uranus. I mean, thank you.
First three texts to come in, it's Venus from Zach, and then another one, isn't it Venus?
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, nice. So it's Venus. I don't know, but it's
great
weird.
It
was not on the night sky app, which is bizarre to me. Usually all that stuff appears on there, except this big serpent coming out of the ground. So the moon is awesome. this looks morning really cool. And tonight, whatever it is. But it looked really cool coming in today.
Yesterday, I thought it was interesting because Colin Cowherd was talking about the tush push. And the way that he kind of said it is that in a way that, you know, they're using it too much because Jalen Hurts has attempted the tush push more than balls thrown down the field, 10-plus yards. And the way that he kind of coined it was that it's not that, you know, they want to ban it because it's boring or stuff like that. You just can't do that. Like, it'd be like, Tim Duncan, you can't do the bank shot inside the post. Well, sorry, it's sufficient and it works for me, unlike it does for anybody else. Tush push, bank shot, Tim Duncan, right? Spurs, Eagles, boring, effective, right? That's just the way that that kind of went. Championship sort of mantra is how they build that. And I think the way that Colin Cowherd was describing it was that it's being used too much. It's being all the time. It's not, you know, a random third and one or a random, you know, goal line. Here we are. It's more so like they're using it all the time on third and two. Oh, we didn't get it. Now it's fourth and one. We're going to use it again. So it's overly used.
Here's Colin on that.
I was thinking about the tush push. They're using it too much. This year, Jalen Hurts has attempted the tush push more than balls thrown down the field 10-plus yards. Yeah. Stuff changes all the time in sports because of the way it looks. I mean, the NBA got rid of the hack-a-shack. Hack-a-shack was brilliant strategy by Mike Dunleavy. They didn't like the way it looked. Baseball got rid of the defensive shift. It was great strategy. I mean, the NFL changed the catch rule. They thought players were making these dramatic catches. Fantasy football fans were like, yeah, it doesn't count. It was a buzzkill. So they changed the catch rule. There's a limit to everything.
Well, and I don't think they're going to get rid of the tush push because it doesn't look good. They're going to get rid of the tush push now because they can't officiate it. And the officials came out yesterday and have said that they have been told now to officiate this play harder and to make sure that they are throwing the flag on this play. And you guarantee you the first time they line up to run that tush push, we're probably going to see a false start penalty thrown by the referees. And if they continue to officiate it like that and continue to call 5-yard false start penalties on the offense, then the tush push goes way of the dodo bird and it becomes irrelevant, because if they can't get up to the line of scrimmage and run it properly without getting a penalty called, then they can't run that play. But I'm also anti-Colin Cowherd on this one, because I'm like, if the play's working, why stop doing it? I mean, you would be foolish on third and one if you're the Eagles to do anything other than the tush push. Or you're at fourth and goal inside the 1-yard line or in the 2-yard line. You'd be foolish to do anything else if you're the Philadelphia Eagles other than the tush push, because it does work. What, 94% of the time, I think, is the number, right? Nothing works in sports 94% of the time, right? No matter what it is. And so I think you continue to run it until they make it impossible for you to continue to run it, where they're constantly calling penalties on it. But if I'm the Eagles, I'm not taking this out of my repertoire ever. I'm at a far superior advantage. I'm at 1st and 8 every day, and everybody else is at 1st and 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, again, this is the commentary.
I was thinking about the tush push. They're using it too much. This year, Jalen Hurts has attempted the tush push more than balls thrown down the field 10-plus yards.
That's insane.
Stuff changes all the time in sports because of the way it looks. I mean, the NBA got rid of the hack-a-shack. Hack-a-shack was brilliant strategy by Mike Dunleavy. They didn't like the way it looked. Baseball got rid of the defensive shift. It was great strategy. I mean, the NFL changed the catch rule. They thought players were making these dramatic catches. Fantasy football fans were like, yeah, it doesn't count. It was a buzzkill. So they changed the catch rule. There's a limit to everything.
But also, all of those rules kind of affect every other team, too. This rule affects one team. Right? This tush push is only beneficial to one team. Yeah, but other teams kind of use that too. If you knew somebody wasn't
good. We saw
it come
back in this year's finals. Yeah. Who was the guy that couldn't hit free throws?
That's right, for the Knicks.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson, yep.
They just were like, every time he gets the ball, hit him, he will. And he airballed every free throw.
Right.
And so it still exists. But again, that's the first time I've seen this in Shaq, at least in my mind.
But you had somebody that was that bad at shooting free throws. You implore that, right? You do that kind of stuff. And so I just think this is a rule or a play or whatever, however we want to describe it, that has an impact of one team and the team that they're playing against at that point in time. You start officiating this thing harder, this thing will go away by itself.
And somebody says, why do other teams not try it? They do. They're not as successful.
Nobody's as good at it.
Because the Bills did it twice last year against us, and we stopped it. Couldn't get the
yard. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. We saw it. Yeah. Yeah.
Chargers just got penalized.
They don't have it. Like, they have some sort of, I don't know. They created it. They have it well oiled. It's like the Buffalo offense last night. Yep. Why can't the Chiefs do that? Well, they're not as oiled right now as Buffalo. Why can't anybody team do the Philadelphia tush push? Because they don't know every single detail that it was created. Right,
my quarterback can't squat 650 pounds.
You
can copycat Chipotle cilantro rice recipe.
It's not the
it's
same.
It's not going to taste like what it's good.
Yeah, we try it all the time. It's good, but it's not the same.
They created it.
You know, you get all these shortcut secret recipes. I tried the corn salsa from Chipotle. It wasn't the same.
Damn, their corn salsa is good.
Yeah, exactly. There's something that they put in it that they don't tell you that they put in there, right?
Sides and false starts.
Yeah, exactly. and so you've got that situation with Philadelphia. I just think it's going to go away by itself. I really do believe that they're going to officiate this thing hard. Now that the officials are speaking about it and talking about it and mentioning that they are told to call this play now, you know the league office is like, all right, we're going to end this play.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're going to make sure that they don't do it for the rest of the year. Everybody's tired of it. We have visual evidence of it right now. And if we have visual evidence of these guys cheating and we're not calling it, now we're going to be under question by the gambling companies. We're going to be under question by the fans. We can't allow this play to continue if there is cheating, not cheating, but, you know, breaking the rules going on. It's got to be called. It's got to be policed out there on the field.
Must win and a big one for a guy that doesn't play on the field but is very, very present every game. We'll get into that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karloftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.